Hey there, welcome to the Thursday edition of Following the Truth. It is September the 10th. My name is Gary Zimak. Today we're going to talk about the importance of setting a good example. I've got to tell you this story. If you've been a listener to this show for any amount of time, I really depend on the Holy Spirit to tell me what I'm supposed to talk about. And many times, what I try to do is look at the daily mass readings and discuss something from the daily mass readings. But that depends. It really depends if the Spirit moves me. There are times when I will hear the daily mass readings and I'll be drawn to something else, a different topic. But today's an interesting story. I knew what the readings were when I went to daily mass with my wife this morning. And the first reading was a bit tough. So I thought, well, I don't want to talk about that one. I knew what the gospel was, and it's a popular, a very well-known message about being merciful. Jesus tells us to stop judging, and we won't be judged. And you know that, and I could have talked about that, but that didn't seem to be hitting me. So what I was leaning toward is the responsorial psalm, and for lack of a better term, it's a safe reading. It's a pleasant one. Lord, you have probed me and you know me. You know where I sit and where I stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. It's all about God's presence in our lives. No matter where we go, He's with us. And it's one of those messages that I think is really comforting, but I wasn't feeling it. When I heard, and again, I knew what the first reading was, but it wasn't until I heard it read at Mass today that I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, you need to talk about this. So, we're going to look at the first reading, which is from St. Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians. But the message I'm going to key in on is the fact that as Christians, we need to watch what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're posting on social media, etc. Because people who know we are Christians are going to be looking at what we do, and we could cause either a lot of harm to somebody, and look, it happened. I struggle with this. This is not something that I have mastered because I haven't. But people who know that we're Christians, and you don't have to be somebody like me who writes books or goes on the radio. All of us, if anybody knows you're a Christian, they're going to watch your actions. You never know who you can push away from Jesus, right? Or move closer to Jesus simply by your actions, your words, what you post on social media, what you say, your disposition. Now, I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but I just think it's something that I really felt moved to think about in my own life. And I think it's worthwhile to share that, because look, as Christians, we are called not only to follow Jesus, but to evangelize, to share Him with others. And we do that in ways sometimes without even saying a word or without doing it explicitly. Somebody's watching me. So if they look at me by my actions, I would want somebody to want to imitate me, right? Or I would want to back up the words that I use. If I'm constantly posting positive messages about the gospel, Bible verses, good stuff. And I look at social media because I see a lot of good and bad being done on social media, and so many people use it. But then I put garbage up, or somebody hears me using bad language or being judgmental, overly judgmental. Somebody's going to say, wait a minute, this guy's a hypocrite. And that's really what we want to avoid, because we need to be genuine. Because if you're not genuine, nobody's going to believe you. I wouldn't listen to me if I had, put up a bunch of good Bible verses on Facebook and went on the radio and talked in a positive way. But if somebody met me and I was a jerk, I wouldn't listen to me. So I just think it's an important topic. And when you hear what St. Paul said in the first reading, how far he was willing to go out of love for his new Christian brothers and sisters. You know, people who haven't been on the journey that long. When you see how far Paul was able to go, or was willing to go, I should say, out of love, it's going to blow you away. And I really think it's food for thought for all of us today, or it should be food for thought for all of us. How far am I willing to go? And do I even think about what I say, what I do, when to push forward, when to hold back? You know, so there are so many different aspects to this story that I just think it's what we're supposed to talk about today. So that's what I'm going with. I hope you are doing well. You know, it's really funny as we as I'm getting ready to record this program. The weather forecaster said that could have some really strong rain showers. Well, it has gotten so dark. Isn't that creepy when that happens? I don't know. Maybe you like it. Some people like it when it gets really dark out. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies a little bit. Now, fortunately, that's a technical term, the heebie-jeebies. But we are not due to have any strong storms, just a lot of rain. So it's not going to be too bad. But anyway, good to hang out with you here on this day. One more day until the end of the week. Just a reminder, if you have not done so, make sure you download my weekly podcast, which is called The Gary Zimak Show. It comes out every Friday, so you can pick it up tomorrow, wherever you get your normal, wherever you download your podcast from, The Gary Zimak Show. And in that show, I reflect on the Sunday Mass reading. So the one that airs tomorrow will refer to the upcoming Sunday's Mass reading. So I hope you'll be able to listen to that. If you like this show, I think you'll like that one as well. Same type of concept. All right, ready to get started? Ready to do what we do at the beginning of each program, to turn to our Father in prayer? Well, let's do that. What an incredible privilege. Let's turn to Him in prayer and ask for His blessing and for the grace for me to be able to say what I'm supposed to say. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, You are all powerful. You are almighty. All praise, all glory, all honor is Yours, Father. We bow down before You in awe of all You have done and in awe of all of who You are. Father, You are all powerful. You are bigger than any problem or challenge that we can ever face. And Father, with You on our side, we can do all things. Whatever You ask us to do, with Your grace, it's doable. Help us to remember that. Help us to be willing to surrender our lives to You. And in the sense of the surrender that I mean, I'm just having trouble with my words. The surrender that I'm referring to involves a mental commitment, a decision, a choice to say, "Yeah, Father, I give up my will to Your will. Your will be done." Therefore, anything that happens in my life, even when I don't like it, I'm not going to complain because I surrendered. So I pray for the grace to be able to do that, to do a better job with that, Father, to really surrender to Your will as Jesus did. His whole life was about following Your will. My life, that's my intent sometimes until it gets too tough, and then I sometimes back down and end up following my own will. But I pray for the grace to follow Your will more frequently. Father, we lift up all those dealing with the wildfires on the West Coast. Please help that situation. Please make it go away. Please save lives, save houses. Please put an end to the fires. We pray, Father, for an end to the coronavirus. And I ask You for relief for anyone who may be suffering in any way from the virus, be it physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Please help them. Father, I ask You to accept all of our intentions. Please grant what we need this day. Thank You for letting us still be alive, which is a reminder to each of us that You're providing for our needs. Father, I ask You to send Your Spirit to guide my words, my thoughts on this program so that Your message can be spoken and not mine. And please open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to what it is that You have to say on the show today. Heavenly Father, I ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I am confident now that I prayed, and I'm really glad that we did that today. So now I know what, now I'm confident, even if I don't know exactly where we're going. And you know, sometimes I just follow the lead of the Spirit, but the Spirit's going to take us to a good place today. Can I get an amen? Very good. That's what I like to hear. Hey, you're listening to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. You can find out more about me and the work that I do by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You get that delivered to your inbox every day, free of charge. Weekends too, Saturday and Sunday. You can't get away from me. Well, you can. You can unsubscribe if you don't like it, but seriously, I just love doing it, and I really think you would enjoy it. If you like what I do on this program, I think you'll enjoy those little brief messages. You get a little Bible verse, little Bible message each day in addition to a reflection. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Okay, here we go. First letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I'm really going to focus on the ending of this passage, but it really is a great reminder for us, because any of us, we can get carried away with pride, self-centeredness, with emotion, with the desire to win a battle, whatever it may be. And we could have good intentions, but our words, our actions could mislead people and could push people away from Christ. They really could. And we really do not want to do that. I think we need to take into consideration the fact that we're all at a different place on our spiritual journey. You and me, we are not going to be exactly in the same place. Your relationship with Jesus and the Father might be much stronger than mine. Mine might be stronger than yours. We may be kind of equal, but no two people are going to be in the same place. Therefore, we have to take into consideration, out of love, where the other person may be coming from. And as a result, sometimes tone down your comments, sometimes choose to not say something, even if there wouldn't be anything wrong with saying it. I make these choices all the time. I get it wrong a lot, but I'm trying to do better, and I constantly try to ask the Holy Spirit, help me know. Well, you heard me at the beginning of the show. But sometimes I'm stubborn. Sometimes I'm determined I'm going to say this, or sometimes I don't think as much as I should. But it's always a good idea to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide my words, my thoughts, my actions, so that I don't push anybody away from Christ, which can be done. I see it all the time. Social media, man, I see some things and I think, why would you post that? I have posted stupid things myself, which I have learned to regret. And I think, why did I post that? You know, I might have started out with good intentions, but there is a way sometimes where we could just push people away completely. We do not want to do that. Yes, conversion is up to the Holy Spirit. It really depends on the Holy Spirit. I can't open somebody's heart to even the gospel message. I can't do that. I could proclaim it. I could share it. I could reflect on it. But until the Holy Spirit opens somebody's heart, they're not going to be receptive to the message. And I know in my life there have been times where I have heard a message and I said, oh, that's nonsense. I don't really care about that. And then in a few years, sometimes less, I'd hear the same message, or I'd think about what I'd heard, and I would say, you know what, that does make sense. And vice versa. Sometimes I would hear a message thinking it makes sense. Yes, that sounds good. I believe in that. Then time passes, more prayer. My relationship with God gets stronger. And I look back and I say, no, I disagree with that now. So the Holy Spirit can move us, can change us. But your relationship with God is not solely dependent on what I tell you. I can give you the most brilliant statements in the world, but if your heart's not open, you're not going to hear them. All right, so let's look at this this reading. It's from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It begins in chapter 8, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, knowledge inflates with pride, but love builds up. If anyone supposes he knows something, he does not know yet as he ought to know. But if one loves God, one is known by him. Essentially, what Paul's getting at, what he's starting with, is love should drive all of our actions and our words. Everything should be driven as a Christian by love. Love for God, love for other people. So about the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. All right, let me just go give you a little background about this. In the idol worshiping world, people would sacrifice meat to idols. It was part of a pagan ritual. It was part of their process of worshiping false gods. So Paul understands now that he knows that eating meat, there is nothing intrinsically wrong with eating meat. Even though it may still, remember, they're living in a world with new Christians. Christianity is relatively new now at this point in time. And there's still a lot of pagan worship, pagan false god worshiping going on, along with rituals that involve offering up meat to the gods. So a good deal of the meat supply may have gone through one of these pagan rituals. And now there's the dilemma of these former pagans, people who did not worship the one true God, converting to Christianity, and now they don't want to eat meat anymore because they're afraid the temptation is going to be great for them to go back to their idol-worshipping ways. And that's what this is all about. Now, Paul states, so about the eating of meat sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no idol in the world and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there are so-called gods in heaven and on earth, there are, to be sure, many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things are and through whom we exist. But listen to what Paul says next. But not all have this knowledge. There are some who have been so used to idolatry up until now that when they eat meat sacrificed to idols, their conscience, which is weak, is defiled. So in other words, they are so used to worshiping the idols through the eating of meat that they're struggling and they're feeling guilty. And they're feeling that this could be causing them to go back to idol worshiping, and they don't want to do that. And Paul continues and says, thus, through your knowledge, the weak person is brought to destruction, the brother for whom Christ died. When you sin in this way against your brothers and wound their consciences, weak as they are, you are sinning against Christ. Therefore, and I'll explain what this is in a minute, therefore, if food causes my brother to sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I may not cause my brother to sin. What Paul's getting at is that he knows there's nothing wrong with eating meat, but the former pagan who's used to sacrificing meat to false gods is going to be offended and scandalized by Paul's eating of meat, even though Paul's not doing anything wrong. So Paul, out of love for his fellow brother and sister in Christ, especially those who are new to the faith and maybe have a way to go before they fully understand, out of love for them, Paul voluntarily becomes a vegetarian and says, I'm not going to eat meat because I don't want to scandalize anybody by my actions. And you know, in my daily email reflection that I sent out today, I commented, wow, it's pretty impressive, right? And it is. It shows the care and the love that goes behind Paul. He is not thinking of himself. Look, the guy had a hard life. Probably some meat would have been a good thing. You know, I love meat. I couldn't imagine doing what Paul did. So I put that out there as food for thought for all of us. How far are we willing to go to set a good example for others, to draw souls to Christ? Am I willing to not watch a movie that might be a little questionable, might even not be too bad, but maybe somebody will think it's bad. In my family, you know, maybe I know how to avoid certain sins, but maybe, let me give you an example that just popped into my head. I used to have a friend who was an alcoholic, and he had given up drinking many, many years ago. But in an effort not to tempt him, I wouldn't say, hey, let's go to a bar. You know, this was in my younger days when I did my share of going out to bars and partying. But out of respect for him, I wouldn't try to tempt him by going into a bar, even though maybe I wanted to get a beer and a good burger somewhere. But Paul's example even goes beyond that. But it just goes to show us all of the importance of setting a good example for people when it comes to evangelization. Sometimes maybe it's better not to post that radical Catholic post that is absolutely 100% on the money. True. Good statement. Absolutely good positive message. Maybe you should tone it down a little bit. Maybe, and listen, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying withhold the truth. I'm not saying twist the truth. I'm not saying bend the truth. I'm just saying there's a way to say it sometimes. And sometimes beating somebody over the head with your catechism is not the way to win a soul. We live in challenging times. People don't especially like authority right now. The church is not exactly popular. Organized religion, not popular in many people's eyes. So we have to find ways, if we really love Christ and really love other people, to go after that one lost sheep. And you're not going to get that sheep back. At least this is my feeling. And if you listen to me, if you watch what I write, I don't go down that road. I try my best to keep it positive. I try. I fail sometimes, though. That does not mean that I twist the truth. It means I don't want to badger somebody and threaten them and call people heretics and call members of the clergy cowards. I don't believe in that. Name calling's not good. It's not good. Yes, you can speak the truth. You can comment that I don't agree with this statement. You can speak the truth. If a Catholic politician is supporting abortion, yes, you should, you can and should say that's a conflict there. That's wrong. That's a contradictory message. But to call people cowards and gutless and hypocrites and heretics, you've got to watch the name calling. Jesus didn't call, I know what you're going to say, he did call some people names, but we got to be really careful. We got to be really careful. Sometimes in the translation, it seems like Jesus is name calling, but he did everything out of love. We just have to be really careful. And that's what I feel I'm supposed to tell you today. I believe me, there is a tendency for me sometimes to really say a thing or two, especially on social media, but then I'll hold back because I want to reach all the people. And you know, you hear a lot about liberal and conservative Catholics. I know people who are all over the spectrum. And many of them who have completely opposing viewpoints about the church, even though they're in the church. Many of them, I can tell you right now, are good, loving, kind people. They just disagree on some things, and we got to try to find a way to give them the truth. Notice I'm not saying don't twist the truth. But we've got to find a way to build bridges without compromising the truth. Look, as a human being with a limited intellect and a fallen human nature, I can't do it. So I really have to depend on the Holy Spirit. That's why I pray before I speak, before I go on the radio, before I write. I'm always praying, saying, Holy Spirit, you got to give me the words because I want to do what's right. But I've been in discussions with people. I remember one time I was talking to a guy who seemed like a nice guy. We were talking about the Bible. I'm Catholic, he was evangelical. And it started out really nicely. And I thought, well, this is good. This guy is respecting the fact that I'm talking about the Bible. We're talking about Jesus. We both love Jesus. But what became apparent was that he was really baiting me. He had a path that he was trying to go down. And it became clear after a while, he wasn't hearing a word I was saying. And then the gloves came off and he started to get nasty. And I realized that there is nothing that I can say, because I was starting to get offended too. You know, when people start coming at me, I have a tendency to push back. I realized that there was nothing I could say that could convince him. And I said, look, brother, I'm just going to pray for you. And here's the way it is. This is the truth. And he just didn't want to hear it. And I did continue to pray for him. Never heard from him again. But those things happen. We should try to win souls for Christ out of love. And we should be careful with what we say and do. And sometimes, if it means sacrificing something you enjoy, even though it's not sinful, maybe that's the way to do it. Just to bring people along a little bit, you know? You don't have to unload your entire arsenal on them the very first time you talk to them about Jesus. You want to bring them along gradually. I know people have scared me in the past. But now I get what they were saying. But at times, man, I remember thinking, this person's a weirdo. I don't want anything to do with them. So just pray. My advice to you is pray to the Holy Spirit and be open to the prompting of the Spirit. And be willing to hold back sometimes for the right time and the right place. Okay? Hey, look, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I know it's a sensitive topic. It's not what I wanted to talk about, but I felt like it's what the Spirit was asking me to talk about. You mean a lot to me. I'm praying for you every day. Please, please, please pray for me as well. Would you do that? Remember, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Find out about my work, to make a donation, to keep my ministry going strong. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And listen, tomorrow's Friday. God willing, I plan to be back here. I hope you will be able to join me. Until we meet again, remember, God loves you. And so do I. Take care. See ya.